Brother Ray has asked that we read from 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 22 through 33, and then 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10. Reading from 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I am not indignant? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artias, the king kept the city of the Demetrius with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now we go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am which I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so do ye believe. That where I'm going to stop with that. Yes, that's got it. Shall we kneel for prayer?
Good morning. It's good, first of all, I want to say it's good to see all the young people up front here. I came down here so I can look you in the eyes a little bit better. You came up, so I wanted to come down so I could see you better. When I was coming from Sunday school and I looked up here, and saw all you young people up here, my heart just melted. I think maybe if we'd have told some people, all the young people sit up here, they'd say, oh, that would never happen. But you proved them wrong. And I really appreciate your courage to sit up front here. And if you want to sit up here next Sunday, and the following Sunday and this following Sunday, you'd be welcome to do that. But thank you for your courage in coming up here today. The message is simply titled, My Testimony. In the scripture, we heard Paul's testimony that was read. A couple of months ago, the Lord laid it on my heart that I should share some of my testimony, not every chapter, but at least some of it. And I wasn't really sure about this idea because a lot of times I get ideas that are kind of outside the box. You know what I mean? And I kind of view that as a strength, but a lot of people view that as a weakness in me, I think. And so I wasn't sure if I should do it. And then something happened that kind of confirmed that this is what the Lord wanted. About a week before I went to Heidelberg's Revivals, I got a phone call from one of the youth there, and he asked me if I would give a 15-minute talk at their youth activity after the service. And I got to admit, I wasn't very happy about that, because I had 10 sermons and 5 children's stories, and now I had something else to prepare for. So I decided I'm just going to throw together 15 minutes of testimony. And I presented it that Saturday night after the service. And to my surprise, you know what happened? That 15 minutes that I threw together that I didn't want to do, the Lord used that more than any of my 10 sermons or more than any of the children's stories that I had prepared. So I decided that, well, I'll do this on a Sunday evening here at Pleasant Hill. You know, to do this something like this on a Sunday morning, that's not appropriate. But you know, I had no peace. I sensed the Lord wanted me to do it this morning. So here I am with his story, testimony of how God worked in my life, but also more than that, testimony of how I refused God when God tried to work in my life. If I could pick 5 words to describe myself when I was your age, of you young people sitting up here, I would use these 5 words: shy, introverted, backwards, socially handicapped, and timid. Shy, introverted, socially handicapped, backwards, and timid. At church, I only had 2 friends, Brother Chip Godfrey and Brother Glenn Miller. And I know all of you young people, you talk to anybody, don't you? But for me, those were the only 2 people I would talk to. I didn't make eye contact with people. I didn't show any emotion. When we would have youth get-togethers, if I did go, I would just stand in a corner. I want to tell you this. It wasn't fun being shy, introverted, backwards, socially handicapped, and timid. It's not fun hardly having any friends. It's not fun not being able to talk with people and express your emotions. It wasn't fun being bound by these fears. And I knew that I wasn't normal. But I was really helpless to do anything about it. The youth at Pleasant Hill at that time, they tried to interact with me, but it was hard for them to do so. How do you help someone? How do you be friendly with someone who resists all the efforts to be friendly with them? I want to give just 2 examples of what I was like. There was a youth Bible study. It wasn't put on by our church, but it was by someone else from another church. I attended along with my sister, Joanne. And one evening at that youth Bible study, I made a comment. And I still remember my sister, Joanne, almost fell out of her chair in shock. Because I remember she told someone later, last night at Bible study, Ray talked. You know, it was like an earthquake. And then when I was a senior in public school, there was a girl from this church who also attended Spring Grove High School, and her name was Sharon, the one I eventually married. Now, I liked Sharon. Now, if you like a girl, what do you normally do? Huh? Oh, George, okay. Yeah, you talk to him. You would try to make interaction with them. Well, not me. Because I liked Sharon, it made me even more shy towards her. And every day at a certain time, we would pass each other in the hallway. So what I decided to do was take the long way around so I would avoid having to pass her. Now, guess what happened? When I took the long way around, I started passing Sharon, because she was also taking the long way around. And after we got married, I remembered this. And so I asked her, well, Sharon, why did you take the long way around? I told her why I did. And so she told me that she took the long way around because she was trying to avoid me. Because I was so shy, she felt uncomfortable around me. And so because I was trying to avoid her and she was trying to avoid me, we ended up passing each other in the hallway again. It's not fun being shy, introverted, backwards, socially handicapped, and timid. And I'm telling you this because I want to apply this testimony in two different ways. First, our success is all about the strength of God in us. It's not about our own strength. If our congregation would have voted who was the least likely to be used of the Lord, I would have been the top vote getter. You see, based on my personality, based on my talents, I was the least. But God desired to have me use his strength and power and might. You see, in ourselves, we are nothing. But with Christ's strength in us, we are everything. Also, because of my past, I see potential in every youth. I know God has plans for every one of you. But you say, well, I'm not a good speaker. So what? With God's strength in you, that will be sufficient. You say, well, I don't have the personality to serve God because maybe I don't like being around people. So what? With God's strength in you, it will be sufficient. Maybe you say, well, I'm not real smart. I have trouble comprehending scripture. Or maybe you say, I'm biblically illiterate. Well, so what? God's strength in you will be sufficient. And maybe you say, well, I'm not good at planning things. I'm not an organizer like so-and-so. They have it all together. I'm so inferior compared to them. Well, so what? God will take your inferiority and give you strength. I'm not trying to be a motivational speaker. There's a youth from our church here. He loves watching Geico commercials. And he showed me this one, this young person from our church showed me one where someone says, did you know switching to Geico could save you 15%? And the other person said, what did the other person say? Everybody knows that. And then the first person says, but did you know Pinocchio was a bad motivational speaker? And the scene switches to a classroom full of adults, and in front of them is Pinocchio. And Pinocchio says, as I look around this room, I see nothing but untapped potential. And then the camera zooms in on a guy in the front row, and this guy looks like a real loser. And Pinocchio says, you have real potential. And his nose grows about 18 inches. And he gives up the speech because he was lying. This morning, I might be talking to a group of losers, humanly speaking, like me. Not much talent, not much ability. There might not be anything in you to motivate, but that's okay, because I'm trying to get you to see your potential in Jesus Christ. Christ alone is sufficient. Each of us needs to come to grips with our theopotency. Theo means God. Potent means power. God working in us. God strength in us. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. God in Christ will give you strength and power to fulfill his will. My testimony is one of God pouring his power in someone who is insufficient. When I was called to teach here at Pleasant Hill, my strength was insufficient. I would have to stand up in front of a podium and talk to people. And I couldn't talk. But God enabled me to talk. When I was called to be a deacon, my strength was insufficient. Because now I would have to go to an annual visit. And on annual visit, you gotta what? You gotta talk to people. But God enabled me to serve in this capacity. When I was called to be in the ministry, my strength was insufficient. Now I would have to preach theology to the entire congregation and even go to other places to preach. And I wasn't strong with theology, but God enabled me to preach. And later, as God called me, to be presiding elder, You know, I had doubts. You know, I'm not good with handling church problems. I'm not good with interacting with people. But there again, God is showing himself strong. Nothing about me. You get the point? It's all about his strength in us, working in our lives. How about you? What are you weak at? What do you fear? Not strong enough to teach. Not strong enough to be a missionary. Maybe you fear you can't do a certain occupation. If so, God has you right where he wants you. Because now you're at the point you need to depend on him for strength. Depend on his power to work in your life. If you think you can't serve on the mission field, well, you can't on your own. But God's strength in you, you can. If you think you can't teach, well, you can't on your own. But with God's strength in you, you can. Perhaps it's helping out at school or serving as a secretary or helping out as maintenance on a mission field. If you feel unworthy, God wants to pour down his power and his strength into your life. I want to apply these scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of" who? God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak," I'm going to ask the young people on this side, "when I am weak, then I am" what?
Strong.
When I am weak, then I am strong. Will you trust him? And I'm not just talking to the young people here. I'm talking to each of you that have doubts and fears about anything that God is calling you to do. With his strength, it can be done. Did you ever wonder why God sets so many important decisions before you at such a young age? Did you ever think about that? You're such a young age, and you have all these important decisions to make. For most of you, within the next couple years, you're going to have a lot of life-changing decisions. When I was 17, I graduated from Spring Grove High School. When I was 18, I started at the paper mill. When I was 18, I also started dating Sharon. When I was 19, I got married. When I was 20, Allison was born. The next year, the twins were born. The next year, nothing happened, but we were not bored, believe me. Now, each of you here are on the brink of massive changes. Maybe I shouldn't use the word brink because it sounds like a cliff you're going over. But each of you are on the verge of massive changes in your life. They come fast, major decisions, and you're going to be faced with one important decision after another. As I look back on my life, I see that I wasn't really ready for everything I faced. I wish I could have been more mature socially and emotionally. But even more, I wish I would have had more spiritual maturity. My foundation was not like it should have been. Because of all these things that happened so fast, there are a couple areas I really wish I would have been stronger at your age especially. If only I had been more consistent in my personal devotions. If only I had built a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. If only I had focused, like we talked about, setting our affections on the things of Christ. If only I would have did these things, I would have been more stronger for these rapid changes that came in my life. I want to ask you, how strong are you? I encourage you, strengthen yourself. I want to say to you, like the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And like John said in 1 John 2 to the young men, I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you. Are you strong? Is the word of God abiding in you? You're going to need this foundation for the things you're going to be facing over the next couple years. And even us older, us adults, changes are coming in our lives, decisions we need to make. We need to be stronger. We need to have personal devotions consistently. We need to increase our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to get in the Word. It's not the young people. It's us older ones that need to show this example of being alive for Christ and not simply shells of a Christian. We need to be alive. Over revivals, Brother Sean mentioned that each of us will face giants in our life. How many of you young people remember that sermon? Could you put your hand up? A couple of you do. How many of you remember that sermon about the giants? Sean talked about each of us will face giants in our life. Well, when I was 22, I switched jobs at the mill. I wanted to come off swing shift, so I took an evening job, which was cleaning offices buildings at the age of 22. Now here I came face to face with two giants. Now the one looked like a giant and the other one looked like an angel. Let me tell you about the giant that looked like a giant first. As I was going about my job cleaning offices, I noticed some of these magazines laying around. Now I knew that I shouldn't look at them, because in those magazines were pictures of women that were dressed in immoral ways. But I decided, you know, just to take a glance at them. I didn't spend a lot of time, but I did glance at them a lot. And then what happened, I would feel guilty, and I would ask God to forgive me. But soon I was glancing at them again. And this went on for some time, and I felt frustrated. I felt guilt, then I tried to do better, I repented, had victory, and then I failed again. I call it the cycle of frustration. The cycle of frustration. I struggled, then felt guilt, I repented, I had some victory, and then failure again. And so this cycle went over and over again. And you know what? I felt guilt for being a hypocrite. And so finally, one Sunday morning, from this microphone, well, this podium right here, it's probably a different microphone, I came up here and I asked the congregation to forgive me for my hypocrisy and for what I did. I made a public confession. And you know, that is when I had victory. That is when this cycle of frustration stopped. You see, what happened is I became accountable to this congregation. No longer was I in this struggle by myself. I was accountable to this congregation. There are many people here, youth and adults, you're dealing with sin in your life right now. It could be bitterness, unforgiveness. Could be resentment to your husband. Could be jealousy, pride, pornography, alcohol. It could be lust, immoral videos. Perhaps you will not submit to parental authority or church authority. And so you fail. And you feel guilt. And you repent. And you try to do better. And you have victory. But then you fail. And then the cycle goes over and over and over again. And many of you know what I'm talking about. You feel like you're caught in a merry-go-round of sin's entanglement, frustrated at your hypocrisy and lack of growth. I want to tell each of us, there is hope. But only if you let another believer help you. Only if you become accountable to someone else. Scripture says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that what? That ye may be healed. I remember one time, this wasn't at this church, this was at another church. An invitation was given. And I met with there was a brother stood, and I met with him after church. And he told me about the sin that he was struggling to conquer. And I told him, I said, brother, you need to get another brother from this congregation that I was at, this congregation, to help you overcome your sin. And I'll never forget the gist of what he said, because my heart sank as he said it, and I knew he would never have victory. He said, Ray, I don't need anybody else. I've talked to God about this. God's helping me. I don't need anybody else. And my heart just sank. I knew he would never have victory. What he said, it sounded so spiritual, but it was so wrong. God uses the body of believers to deal with sin. God made us to need each other, to help each other, to nurture each other, to encourage each other. When we remove each other from the equation, we are actually removing God. God used fellow believers to help me, and he will use fellow believers to help you. Are you in the cycle of frustration? Are you caught in sin? Have you refused to be accountable to anyone else? You must open up. That is the only way you can have victory. I said I faced two giants. And the second giant, it actually looked like an angel, but it was actually a giant. As I was cleaning these offices, it was like an evening shift. We were allowed to listen to radio. Like I said, I'd switched jobs. I started at 18, but this was like 22. When I was 22, I switched to this job where I was cleaning offices. And so we were allowed to listen to the radio. So every day, I would put WDAC on, and I would have WDAC on for about 6 hours. A good, wholesome Christian radio station. And so day after day, I would take in messages from an evangelical perspective. Let me tell you what started to happen. George is shaking his head. I want to tell you what started to happen next. My theology started to shift to an evangelical slant. What I had believed years ago, now I started to doubt. You see, Christian radio seemed so good, was actually a giant in my life. And up to this point, I had been very compliant about everything the church said. I mean, if Brother Merle would have asked me to wear an orange life jacket when I went shopping to Walmart, I'd have did it. You know, I was that type of person. I was very compliant. I just did whatever the church said. I didn't ask any questions. But now I started to have doubts because of the influence that I brought in to my presence. You know, none of us are immune to influence. What you take in, what all of us take in, it will affect our lives. I was taking in false doctrine. So naturally, it influenced me, at least for a time until I realized, you know, the mistake that I was making. And maybe you say, well, Brother Ray, I don't listen to WDAC. Okay, but like, did you ever read the book called The Shack? I mean, that book has false theology in. It talks about doctrine doesn't matter. All we got to do is love God and everything's okay. You ingest stuff like that and it's going to influence you. And I know each of us, we're bombarded. There's so much Christian literature out there, Christian books, Christian magazines. And I know you as young people, you're taking in a lot of that stuff. I want to ask us, and not just the young people, us older people, is it good for us? Is it going to influence in a negative way? Is it going to cause us to do wrong? And as I think back, you know, it's so easy to reflect back and realize your mistake. As I look back to when I was in my early 20s, again, I realized I was not foundationally strong. I had followed my mom and dad's Christianity. I had followed my church's Christianity. But I had not personally adopted these beliefs. My beliefs were my parents' beliefs. My God was my parents' God. You see, I had not studied God's word and personally took an ownership of these beliefs. And I want to encourage you, especially our young people here, to personally take ownership of the doctrines we teach. Study what we believe. See if they are actually part of Scripture. Is non-resistance taught in Scripture? Is non-conformity, is it taught in Scripture? Is eternal security conditional, taught in Scripture? Please, grab it for yourself. Make it personal. You need to internalize this worldview. You need to search the Scriptures, and you need to make them your own. You need to be like the Bereans. It says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. And if you do this, when wrong influence comes into your life, you will be strong. You will not wobble or flop. Our theme so far is how God shows himself strong in our life. I want to continue that theme in regards to God showing himself strong in trials we go through. There were two times at Glatfelter's where I lost my job. But both times, God showed himself strong. The first time was when I was in plant service doing cleaning work. I thought about transferring to another job, but I was too scared to do so. I didn't have the confidence that I could do it. And then one day I got the news that my job was eliminated and that I would have to choose some other place to go. And to me, it felt like the end of the world. But you know, God knew what he was doing. God knew that I needed a change. He knew I needed to trust him for strength in a different job. And so I ended up transferring to the G-coder. And what happened there is the Lord gave me a supervisor who helped me to grow in having responsibilities. And I gained confidence and I excelled at the job. And it was about 2.5 years later, they asked me to be a supervisor over a crew of men, which I turned down because of the work schedule that was involved. But you see, God wanted to show himself strong. He wanted me to gain confidence. He wanted me to learn to trust him to give me strength. The second time my job was eliminated, I also felt discouraged. Now this time, I had more confidence that I could do a new job, but it was still a very discouraging thing. And to make a long story short, I ended up with the job that I have now. At first, I didn't like the job because it's a menial job. It doesn't have much responsibility. It seemed boring compared to being in production at the G-coder. And I, like I said, I dealt with some discouragement through this whole ordeal. You know, why does God want me in this menial, boring job? And then, the rest of the story. Then I was called here at this church to the presiding elder's office, and then I found out why God wanted me on this job. I now would need a job that had flexibility, a job where I could get off easy on a day's notice. Most jobs at the mill require you to give advance notice, and sometimes you don't even get approval. But the job that the Lord gave me now is one of the easiest jobs in the mill to get off. I could go to work tomorrow and ask for off at 12, and it would be granted. I could go to work tomorrow and ask to be off on Wednesday, and the request would be granted. You see, the Lord knew that with my added church responsibilities, that I would need a job like this, even before I knew I was going to be getting this responsibility. So when church work piles up, I can just take off early. I can take as much vacation as I need to fulfill church obligations. And so God gave me the perfect job to match my church responsibility. At first, it seemed like a very, very negative thing, but God showed himself strong. Brothers and sisters, God desires to show himself strong in each of your lives. You see that trowel in front of you, and to you it might look like a huge obstacle. This obstacle to you, to God, it might be a doorway which leads you on the path that he wants you to go. To God, what seems to you like an obstacle might actually be a window of opportunity where he wants you to look through and venture. God wants you to take his hand as you walk through this doorway and as you look out the window. He made you. He loves you. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and he will show himself strong. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. I want to read this together. We're going to start let's just do verse 10 together. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, in unison. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Second Corinthians 3, verse 4 and 5. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I want to ask you, are you willing to give your fears? Are you willing to give your doubts? Are you willing to give them over to the Lord and just trust his strength to overcome any weakness you have? We're soon going to have a hymn of invitation. I just feel that the Lord is leading some people this morning. But before we give the invitation, over revivals, a young brother from this congregation, he gave one of the most exciting testimonies I ever heard. It was just short, but it was very exciting, and it encouraged me. He showed how the Lord made himself strong in his life. So I'm going to ask Brother Travis Miller to come up and share that with us this morning.
Good morning. I hope there's somebody out there praying for me because I'm really struggling. But just wanted to say about how God's worked in my life the last couple weeks. And it really started with Sean's sermon on a good foundation. Because I had been struggling with a lot of stuff in my life, and I was sort of going through the cycle that Ray was talking about. I'd have victory, and then I'd just fall back into it, and I never really told too many people about it, and I never had anybody on my side praying for me. And when he said about having a good foundation, I knew I didn't have one. So when I stood No, met downstairs with a couple of the brothers and told them what I was going through, and it was the most amazing thing I ever experienced. They all prayed for me, and it just, you could feel God so alive in that room. It was amazing. We all put our arms around each other and prayed with each other. I just confessed my sins to him and asked God's forgiveness, and I just praise God this morning that there's power in the blood. And if you have brothers there for you or sisters that can pray for you and just hold you up to the throne of grace, that there's power in the blood and there's victory if you just claim his promises and try and live for him, do the best you can. But like you were saying, we're nothing by ourselves. We got to have God in us. I just praise God this morning that he gave me the strength to stand at revivals and share my sins with the brothers there, and for their willingness and their help to hold me accountable, to lift me up to the throne of grace, and just to be there for me in an amazing way. And for anybody that has struggles or something you just can't seem to get over, man, you got to talk to somebody about it, because having somebody there can lift you up and hold you up to the throne of God is amazing. And I've been having victory ever since, and just praise God.
Thank you, brother, for that wonderful testimony. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask you, those of you who are struggling with fears, doubts, you're struggling with a cycle of frustration, you sin, you repent, then you fall back into sin again, then you repent. You can't get out of it. I'm going to ask you to come forward. The brothers can come up here in the front bench and sit with me. The sisters can come up here and sit on the front bench. My wife will come up with you when you come up. And this is called an aisleway. But this morning, we're going to dedicate it the pathway to victory. You can come up the pathway of victory. And like our brother said, your life will never be the same. So I invite you to come forward, bring your struggles with you, and I guarantee you, you will leave without your struggles. Come forward as we sing. They're still coming. Let's just keep singing, brothers. We praise the Lord for his victory. These brothers and sisters didn't come up here on their own strength. They came up on his strength. It takes a lot of courage to walk up front here. And so we praise the Lord for the courage. And we know the Lord will give victory. And they need your prayers. So keep praying. We're going to meet with each of these downstairs immediately after the service. I think Brother George, you're scheduled to have closing, right?
Just thought in closing I'd share a scripture about someone living in defeat from the book of Judges. Just want to read a couple of scriptures and just emphasize, and I'm watching the clock, it'll only take a minute. And this was about Gideon. In verse 11 of chapter 6, there came an angel of the Lord, which was Jesus, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles?" Did you ever ask that question? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites." The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." And here's the key: "Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." You see, the emphasis there is what Brother Ray was saying. It's the power of God. It's not our strength. I was taught by the preacher that led me to the Lord. The word responsibility means that God has the ability, and it all depends on my response. I don't know why it is. Personally, I think the best hymn ever written is the Irish hymn, "Be Thou My Vision." For some reason, we don't sing it here, but I just want you to keep this in mind. "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Be not all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light." Let's stand as we close in prayer.